Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we've been visiting with our special guest, Doug Parker, who's been sharing with us his gripping testimony of kind of a long and winding road being involved in the homosexual lifestyle. And we're going to hear the rest of the story about how God pulled him out of this lifestyle and really transformed him and how he's using him today. So, Doug, before the break, you were telling us about how you were involved in the homosexual lifestyle for many years, 24 years. Kind of running from God, not reading your Bible anymore, and but you always knew deep down that God was real, didn't you?
Yes. You know, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even if we walk away from him, he's nearby. He's like, he still wants us, you know.
Amen.
We know the parable of the lost sheep, you know, where the good shepherd will come and look for that sheep that's out there in the wilderness. You know, that's his sheep, and he's like, he's going to come searching for you, you know. And
yeah, and he actually came to you in a pretty dramatic way. You were invited to a church service by someone who you were kind of trying to pick up, I guess, right?
Oh, that was really towards the end. While I was doing all these things, all these years, about every 5 or 6 months, you know, now I hadn't been to church, I hadn't read my Bible, prayed, I wouldn't think about God, I wouldn't listen to anybody that tried to talk to me about God, which my parents would do on the phone and at times, and or different friends of the family would call, hey, what's going on? Oh, by the way, you know, this scripture, I was like, oh, listen, I got to go, you know, I wouldn't let nobody talk to me about God. I just shut them up.
Now, why do you think that was?
Because I didn't want to hear it. I knew it all, what I was doing was not what, you know, I didn't want to feel condemnation. I knew about God, and I knew what I was doing, and I had these thoughts. I said, you know, when I'm ready to come for God, I said, I want it to be real. I don't want to, you know, as my teen years, I was up and down. I was never really strong for God, and I'm like, you know what? I knew about the scripture about, like, if you're living in sin and you're in the light, you know, the light becomes very dim.
Mm.
I said, you know what? When I had that encounter with God, I want it to be real. I want it to really change me. I don't want to play games anymore. And I was enjoying what I was doing. I said, you know what? Later on in life, maybe when I'm older and I can't have fun anymore, I'll give God a chance, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that like a lot of people do that, you know?
Oh, that was my thought, you know?
Yeah.
But God had other plans.
So how did he eventually get a hold of you?
Well, even while I was out there, about every 5 or 6 months, you know, all these thoughts about God would come into my head. I'm like, where are these coming from?
Hmm.
And my mom and dad and many, many people were praying for me for many, many years. And prayer is powerful.
Amen.
It's
yes,
powerful,
it is.
You know. I seem like an impossible case where you think, like, wow, there's nothing I can say to this guy that's going to impact him. Because I knew about the gospel. I knew about God. So what are you going to say to me that's going to draw me to God? There's nothing. There's nothing that you can say to me.
It had to be a divine encounter with God himself to change you, right?
That's what happened.
Right. And I want to let that be an encouragement to people because, you know, many times, you know, we argue back and forth with different people. Maybe they have different philosophies than us. Maybe they're agnostics or atheists or whatever. And I argue with people more than I would like to. But what's more effective is prayer and sharing your testimony. And when God gets a hold of them personally, like when he intervenes in their life, there's no denying it. You can't argue your way out of that.
Right.
So I just want to let you, you know, be encouraged. If you have people like that in your life, continue to pray for them, witness to them. But don't expect that you're going to be able to argue them into the kingdom of heaven.
No.
So, all right, Doug, what happened in your case?
Well, that was about every 5 or 6 months. Then, maybe it was about 3 years ago, in around January time or so, these acts of God were starting to happen a lot more frequently, but I didn't know it was the hand of God.
Okay.
I did not know it.
Right.
It was very subtle, very subtle. The first thing was I found this book on the train. Now, I wouldn't read any Christian literature or anything, so when I was ready to come to God, I knew what to do. And when I was ready.
Right.
But I found this book on the train. It was on leadership. I was like, oh, that's nice. I like, you know, how to be a good leader and things like that, how to better yourself. So I'm about halfway through it, and I realize the author is a Christian. You know, he's making references, and so like, you know, all right, he's not really preaching, but but it was, that was just a funny kind of thing, you know, like, yeah. You know. And then the very next thing, before I was done with the book, I bump into a very senior manager at my job, and it's a large company, and I started talking with him, and I said, listen, I have this book on leadership, and I've seen how you've moved up and you know, through the company. He's like five levels of management, mm-hmm. close to the top. And I said, you know, would you be interested? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'd like that. You know, I said, well, I don't want you to think I'm preaching at you. I said, but it's a Christian author, but it's not a Christian book. And he goes, oh, that's okay. And he said something about his church. So I'm like, well, what church do you go to? And he mentions the church, and I'm like, my mouth just dropped open. He goes, what's the matter? I said, that's my old church. And he goes,
oh, wow.
Goes, well, I haven't seen you there. I said, well, I haven't been there in quite a while. And he invited me. He goes, why don't you come this Sunday as my guest? I'm like, oh. And not only that, he said, come as my guest, and after church, you come to my house. My wife will make you dinner. Now, this is an important person at my job. I'm like, wow.
You can't very well turn him down now, can you?
Well, if I would have been bumped into him in the movie theater or somewhere else, and he says, come to my house, let's hang out, I would definitely would have jumped on it.
Okay.
Great opportunity. But the only reason, when he said to come to church, what, I was like, no, that's not the reason to come to God.
He couldn't even bribe you with dinner?
He even bribed me with dinner. I said, I can't do that.
Okay.
Deep down, I wanted to come to God in pure motive.
Sure.
Okay. Pure reasons.
All right.
Right reasons, not for... any other reason, but because I wanted to come to God, you know, I wanted to be drawn to Him and in the right way.
Okay,
and
that's admirable. So, I would have taken him up on the free meal.
Now all these things that were going on, I wasn't realizing what was going on individually until the end.
Sure, God was working things out, you know, things out to try and get your attention and putting the right people in your path and such.
I like to read good books, and I was in Barnes & Noble, I guess it was, a bookstore, and I found this series of books on Genghis Khan. It was very interesting, The Birth to Death of Genghis Khan. I read that whole series, and I liked it. I'm like, well, maybe he has something else. And he did, on The Birth to Death of Julius Caesar.
Hmm.
Now, Julius Caesar is around the time of Christ. We had Caesar involved in Pontius Pilate, or Pontius Pilate, more so, but,
right.
You know, the Roman conquest. So I read that whole book on Caesar. Now, this is two series of books, so this took a bit of time. This is how slowly this thing was being set up. The next thing I find is a book on the train, a big, thick book. It says John the Last Apostle. I'm looking at that, I'm like, it looks like a Christian book. You know, I probably shouldn't look at it, but I was staring at the cover, and I was like, it was getting the best of me. I said, let me make sure it's like not a book that's making fun of Christianity, that I wouldn't read at all. So I glance at it, I'm like, all right, Christian authors and everything. I was like, I shouldn't read this, but I said, let me just take a peek. I open up the cover, and it starts out, John's at the end of his life. He's about to be boiled in a pot of boiling oil in front of Caesar, and I just finished the whole book on Caesar. I'm like, wow. So it started out with excitement, and God delivers him from his predicament and set them free, and, you know, goes on all about the early church and things. I couldn't put the book down.
Wow.
Thick book, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, church history, early stuff, you know, how the early Christians were and the persecutions and things. And towards the end of the book was the Gospel of John,
mm-hmm.
and then the first three epistles of John and the book of Revelation. I read it right through. I just read five books of the Bible for somebody that didn't want to have anything to do with God. Like, wow, this is crazy, you know?
And this is a book you found on the train?
Yeah.
This is great. You know, I've lost several books on the train, so now it's giving me hope.
You.
That, you know what?
You're losing that one.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I'm thinking maybe, you know, the right person needed to get that book. That's why I lost it. So it's pretty cool.
The kicker was, now, I did like Latinos. That was my preference. And I didn't have to find out if somebody was gay or not. I was a manipulator. I would befriend people, and you know, I'd take them to straight bars. We'd go there, and you know, and it would lead on from there. And so this one Latino guy I was talking to, I got his phone number. I said, "Hey, let's go to." I speak a little bit of Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn it to be able to perfect my pickup lines and things like that. So I said, let's go to this club. We'll look at the girls. We'll dance. We'll drink. We'll do all this stuff. And he looked me right in the eye, and he says, I can't do that. He goes, I'm a Christian. I was like, wow. It just blew me away. It was like a knife going right, you know, like a, it impacted me, like a knife going right through my chest, you know.
Oh, wow,
I was like,
okay.
Whoa. He didn't mince his words. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't say, you know, I'm not really into that, my pastor or my religion. He looked me in the eye, and he said, I don't do that. I'm a Christian. I was like, wow, this guy's a real Christian, you know. It blew me away, just his testimony, how he did that. So I'm like, ooh, I said, I'm not going to go any further than that. I'm not going to mess with one of God's, you know, people here. And I said, but I did save his number in my phone, not to call him for anything bad, but I said, you know what, I'm going to save this guy's reference if I want to get right with God, you know. I'm going to be able
to. Oh, wow. That's really cool.
That never happened in 24 years, 23 years. Someone I tried to pick up was a Christian like that.
Mm.
2 weeks later, I'm in a food store, like a Subway, eating a Hero, and there's two Latinos came in, and I befriended one of them, and we made plans to go to the beach. I was like, well, that's nice. We're heading down. I pick them up like a week or two later, and we're heading down the highway, and I put on a popular Spanish radio station. And I said, do you like this music? And he's like, eh. I said, what do you mean? I said, everybody likes this music. It's not too hard, not too soft. And finally, I can't find any music he likes. I'm like, well, what music do you like? And he's like, oh, only Christian music. I was like, oh, man. I couldn't believe it. I'm halfway to the beach with this guy.
That's so funny.
Two in a row. I was like, what's going on? We went to the beach, had a regular time. On the way back, I'm kind of like in a dreamy state. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, you know. I'm like, just weird. It's weird for me, you know. And he just looked over to me and says, you want to come to church with me? I'm like, huh? He goes, you want to come to church with me? I'm like, having a bad week here, bad weeks. I'm like, yeah, all right. And the only reason I said yes, if I would have bumped into him on the street and said, you want to come to church with me? I said, no way. Why would I want to do that? No way. The only reason I said yes, because he came with me to the beach.
Mm.
So it was very, very subtle, very subtle.
Now, did he know that you were gay and were trying to pick him up or something?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, that would come later on once I earned the person's trust or whatever, and it was a very slow process, a manipulation process.
Oh, okay. So
sure, it was very bad, very bad.
All right. So cause sometimes, you know, people, they'll just come right out and say it, you know, hey, you know,
right.
I'm gay and I'm interested in you
right.
or whatever. But your tactic wasn't like that. Okay.
No. I was very stealthy.
Okay.
Very bad. So we make plans. We're going to this church, Spanish church, and of course he goes to. And I hadn't been in church in 24 years at least. I stopped going, didn't have nothing to do with God. Now, you know, all right, what's the big deal? So I'm going to the church with him. And outside the church, this man and woman, they shake my hand. And I know people, and I could feel God's love coming through them. And it wasn't like a fake experience or anything. I'm like, they smiled and looked at me and said, Dios le bendiga, that God bless you. And I was like, oh, man, this is, I could feel the Spirit of God in them, coming through them.
Wow.
Oh, this is interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the church, and we're in the lobby, and we're standing in the lobby. I didn't realize my friend brings me to the church early, like, oh, I don't know how much early, but before the church even starts.
Okay.
So we're sitting in the lobby, and I'm starting to think, I'm like, I have no idea what kind of church this is, you know. I said, I don't know. I said, maybe it's like Jim Jones, where they drank the wine and everybody died, or
oh gosh.
So I don't know what's going to happen here to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, wait, this is a Spanish church. Maybe it's going to be a Santeria. We got the lighted candle. We got the sacrifice over here. So I'm looking around, and I see a statement of faith, you know. It's written in Spanish, but it says basically, we believe the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father sent the Son, died for our sins, rose again. I was like, all right, you know, Christian church. Okay, I don't have to worry about something weird going on. At least I'm in a Christian. So now I know I'm in a Christian church. After a little while, my friend wants to go into the sanctuary through the main doors. And I look through the glass, and I don't see hardly anybody in there. You know, there's a few people, three or four people. I don't realize what they're doing right away, but I think they were praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, why do you want to go in there? Church, you know, nobody in there. And he says, in Spanish, he says, necesito preparar mi corazón.
Mm.
He goes, which means it's necessary that I go prepare my heart.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And I said, you want to go pray before church even starts? Who does that? And you know what? He didn't invite me to go with him. Because if he did, I would have said no, and I would have went to the back and waited till the church filled up and then snuck in the back. But he just turned and he went in, and it was like a vacuum.
Oh, wow.
Sucked me in behind him. And I, as soon as I stepped in those doors, like three things happened all at once. One, he started going to the right, and I'm like, I'm not following him. I'm going straight. And two, I was like in a protected state. like a dreamy state. Because the next thing that happened would have freaked me out, and I would have ran out the door if I wasn't in a protected state. I felt the air above me and behind me got heavier. Hmm. Not in front and not on the sides. But it wasn't weird. I was just like, I just took notice of it. I was like, okay. And as I started going forward, it got stronger on me. So I started going a little faster. I got all the way to the front, to the altar. I kneeled down at the front of the altar. There's nobody in the church. Or very few people. A couple of people that were in the seats. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the front of the altar, and I felt the air back away. And my mind came into its normal state. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm like, what am I doing here? I guess I'm talking to God. I'm kind of shocked. I'm in a church. I said, I'm not just in a church. I'm in a Christian church, and I'm in the front. I'm in the holy part of the church at the altar. I looked up a little. I said, God, I said, you know, I'm not ready to change yet. I don't want to change. I don't want to be here. I said, what am I doing here? And just as I said that, all those things, those individual things where he was drawing me to him, like a movie screen came flooding through my head in the order that it happened. Wow. Up to the last two guys that I tried to pick up. I'm a Christian. I invited you here. Now I'm here. I'm at the altar. I'm like, oh, wow. I was so shocked. My mouth dropped open. I said, you're really after me. I said, I didn't realize individually that that it was God's hand, but all together, now here I am. I find myself here. I'm like, what am I doing here? Mm. He showed me. Mm. I was like, oh, okay. I said, you know, I'm so far away from you. I am so deep in sin. I'm like in a quicksand. My whole lifestyle, every phone number, every friend I have, my computer, everything I do, all my social structure, everything I do is involved with gay lifestyle. It's completely a part of my life. And, you know, all the party scene and everything else, the drinking, well, everything I do. I said, I'm so far from you. I said, I can't change. I told God, I said, I can't change. I don't have the power to change. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know the first step to take. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. I can't do it. And I said, I know you're God. And I see how you drew me here. And I said, if you really want me, I said, you're going to have to do the work. I said, you're going to have to change me. And wow. Said, you can do anything. You created the whole world with just your word. You said, let there be light. There was light. I said, I know this. You raised people from the dead. I said, you can change me.
Amen. You know, that's so powerful what you just said there, because a lot of times we think we have to clean ourselves up. We have to change ourselves before God will accept us. And, you know, when you read the scriptures and even just looking at your own life, if you're honest, you realize you don't have the power to change yourself. You really cannot clean yourself from sin. That's why Jesus came and died for us. I mean, the word says that his blood is what cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we need to really trust in that and just throw ourselves on God's mercy. And as you do that, as you pursue God, he will change you as he did in your life. And tell us, Doug, how did that play out from that point on?
Well, when I said this to him, I said, you know what? I don't want to play games with you. I don't want to have one foot in the world, one foot with, you know, in the church. I said, you have to change me completely. You have to change, renew my mind, my heart, my whole body. And I said, I don't want to be wishy-washy. It's got to be all for you or nothing. And I said, if you don't do this change today, I said, I don't think you're going to have another chance to get me back in a place like this. I see, you drew me here, so you want me. And I said, if we don't do it right now, I said, forget about it. I said, I'll never come back to you.
Wow.
I said, with that, I said, let's do it. And I repented of my sins. And as I started to pray and repent and say, I'm sorry, I felt that air that had backed away, like, jump into me. And it's the next surprise, my eyes opened up. I was crying like crazy at the altar. And just be washed. And I was there. I thought I was there about 5 minutes. And it's a pretty large church. And I'm here. I'm at the front of the altar before the service starts. Next thing I hear is this guy praying in Spanish. But he's praying, like, really connecting with God, not just saying a prayer or whatever. I'm like, wow, this is a guy. I can't believe he's talking to God like this. Like, you know, Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit, we need your presence. I need you now. Come, be with us, you know, work in our lives. I'm like, oh, man, this guy's talking so nice and praying. And so I glance up at him, and out of the peripheral of my eye, I see the church is full of people. Mm. And I'm like, now I'm embarrassed. I'm like, oh, wow, where did all these people come from? So I was just lost in God's presence there. there at the altar. And so I kind of get up, and now I can't make it to the back, so I got to walk past all these people. So I sit in the front, and I just put my head down, and I don't really understand what's going on too much at the time because they're speaking a little too fast in Spanish, singing song. But I was crying that whole time. I'm hiding myself, and because I didn't want people looking at me and crying, but God was just working at me. You know what? I didn't understand a lot of the words that were going on, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to me.
I love that.
Through the whole message, and
wow.
It was powerful.
That is awesome. Now, from that day forward, your life was different, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Right away.
And what happened
right
from
away.
What happened from that point on?
Wow. God's Spirit was so strong in my life. I guess it had to be, you know. And I guess he was really demonstrating to me, like, that I made this commitment and I'm going to be there with you, and he showed that. And, I mean, he would speak loudly into my life. That night, I tried to go to bed, and I never had trouble sleeping. I worked a lot of hours. When I'd be tired, I'd hit my bed, I'd be right out. I could wake up on a dime. That night, I'm tossing and turning in bed because so many things, Christian songs from when I was a kid that I hadn't listened to forever, coming into my head word for word, and different things, messages, God talking to me. For like hours are going by with this thing. My shirt, I'm actually sweating and I'm enjoying it. But then after a while, I'm like, God, you know, I need to go to sleep. I'm tired. You know, maybe we could resume this in the morning. I said, it's nice, but, you know, it's always tomorrow, you know. And things like that. And I still couldn't fall asleep. And I got up and I went to my computer and there was things. It was like the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me, you know, you need to clean up some things. I was like, oh, okay. You know, he didn't say that directly, but he would let me sleep, and I got up, and then I got to my computer, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I started erasing things, and then he stopped me. He's like, what are you doing? You know, I said, what? Don't you want me to get rid of this stuff? And he says, you know, some of these people that you're deleting, you know what, you're going to share. You're going to share what happened to you in your life. I'm like, okay. So then I went to my profile, like, amended it, put all the correct age and all these things, and I put my testimony. I just said what happened, and I left it at that, and I went to my bed, and I fell right asleep.
Okay. So this is like the next day you're talking about, right?
That was that night.
Okay, so you
very
pretty
night.
Much were trying to get your life, trying to be truthful and just tell people what happened, and people started to notice, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, right away, yeah. There was, now, I told God I'm not here to play games with him, and I wasn't worried about what anybody thought. I knew what God did in my life. Now, very few people at my work knew about me. I mean, a lot of people suspected, and there would be rumors and jokes, and, oh, you know, be careful, Doug's here, you know. But they really didn't know because I didn't admit to it, and I could play it off and joke around. But that very week, you know, or maybe the next day or day or two later, I was with some of the guys that I always worked with, and I told him. I said, "Listen, I said, you know that rumor's about me." And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, it's true." I said, and they looked kind of surprised that I said that, and it wasn't so much surprised that it was true, but surprised that I was saying so. And I said, "The only reason," I said, "not only was it true, it was true for 24 years."
Wow.
I said, "I was in the homosexual lifestyle for 24 years."
Mm.
And I said, "The only reason I'm telling you is because Christ changed my life."
Amen.
I knew it. It wasn't like I said, "Well, you know what, let me wait a month before I come out like this or say things." I knew right away what God did in my life.
That is amazing.
How real it was.
Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Doug Parker. If you're just joining us, he's sharing about how God got a hold of him and delivered him out of the homosexual lifestyle, which he was heavily involved in for 24 years. Doug, what happened from there? I mean, I know that a lot of your coworkers were impacted by this, and you were able to witness to so many people.
Oh.
You had a profound change. Tell us about some of those experiences.
Fantastic, yes. Well, when I shared with these guys what Christ did in my life, this group of guys that I work with quite a bit, they just nodded their head and they're like, okay, you know. And I didn't know if like they were going to get more, more joking about it or more. I didn't care. I didn't care whatever the reaction was, but it was, the reaction surprised me. All the rumors and things like that, it all stopped.
Hmm.
I didn't expect that. I thought
okay.
It would be like, you know, I didn't have to worry about anything. It all stopped. And then I noticed when I was alone with these guys, like going somewhere, driving somewhere, whatever, David, each one opened up to me and said, you know what, I need more God in my life. I need to happen what happened to you, happened to me, you know. I'm having this trouble. I'm having that trouble. I'm like, wow.
That's awesome.
Wow. God was showing me the power of the testimony of what He did in my life, and not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed to share what God has done.
Yeah,
work that God does in our lives.
It's amazing when you let your light shine, like Jesus said. You know, we're a city on a hill, and if you have a lampstand, you don't put it under a bushel, or you don't hide it. You want to let your light shine, and the Bible says in Revelation that the saints overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Sharing your testimony is so powerful, and it's so effective in opening people up and just letting them know what God can do in their lives as well from what He's done in your life. So, Doug, now I have to ask you this. From that time when you met God at that church, I mean, were you instantly delivered? I mean, like, you weren't attracted to guys anymore, or was it a process after that?
Well, it was a double process. The first, I was instantly delivered.
Okay.
Yes, God forgave me all my sin, and I knew He set me free from the bondage, and I was. But did I have temptations? Yes.
Okay.
I still had attractions. I still had temptations, but I knew I was free from it.
Okay.
I was free from it, but I had to take a lot of physical steps in the beginning. It was very difficult, and it was almost like God demonstrated His love to us by He came down and He became flesh and suffered for us and died for us and rose again from the dead. And it's almost like, let me see how we straight out up to Him by being old. The temptation was strong. It was like, yes, I responded to God's love and His grace and His mercy. And it was so beautiful what He did to me. And I said, there's no way I could ever go back to any of those things that I did. And in time, I had some gay friends calling me and say, Doug, what happened? They saw my profile on Facebook. I said, what happened to you? And I said, I just say, hey, God changed my life. And they go, you like girls? I'm like, no. Like, it was true. I was being honest, And I said, I didn't come to God to try to like girls or any other reason. God came after me, first of all. I wasn't looking for Him. And I said, and they go, then what? I'm just serving God, man. I said, I'm just going after Him. And I said, if in time He gives me a desire for a woman, that's fine. If He doesn't, that's okay too.
Mm.
Just because there's temptations out there doesn't mean that we have to give in to them. We have different desires,
Right. Now, can you talk about, I guess in general, I mean, sin is sin. People think that, Christians are always harping on gays and, having homosexual lifestyle is sinful. Well, yeah, it is, but if you're having sex outside of marriage, even if it's women.
That's what I told my friend. I said, it doesn't matter what your sin is. Sin isn't sin because somebody made up a rule to control us. Sin is sin because God is holy.
Mm.
And God loves us, and He can't have a relationship with us if we have sin in our lives, and it doesn't matter what the sin is.
Wow.
It could just be, you could be the greatest person in the world, and just like, I'm not into God. I'm not going to serve Him. I'm just going to, I'll do good things, whatever. I don't want to have nothing to do with God. I know about it. You're a sinner. You're going to die in your sins. You didn't accept God's sacrifice that He covered. He paid the price for our sins. We're bound to this sinful condition until we ask for Christ covering His blood over our sins.
Right. I love the fact that you got really serious about God, and you were like, I'm just giving my life to you. I don't care if you ever restore my attraction to women,
right,
or if you don't, that's fine. I'm just going to serve you. Mm. And that attitude, obviously God worked with that, because you eventually did regain your attraction to women, and you're now engaged to a woman.
Yes.
That's awesome. Tell us what happened with that.
It was about a month later when I first noticed the girl near me in church, and I said, wow, she's kind of nice. And I was shocked. I was like, wow. I just looked at a girl and said, she looks kind of nice. And that's the first time I looked at her in light that way in a long, long time. I said, wow, maybe God's restoring my mind, I didn't, I said, that's nice, I said, well, let me see what's available and search around. And eventually, there was one that I spied out, and she was a very beautiful girl, but she's very spiritual, and I made some inquiries, and the guy's like, no, she's very serving God and sharing the gospel and stuff. She's not dating. I'm like, okay, that's great. I like that too. I'm doing that type of stuff. So I was like, whatever, I was just pursuing God, and I'm happy. I'm so fulfilled and content every moment of my life. I'm like, if God has someone for me, He'll give it to me. I didn't jump around looking at different churches trying to find somebody. I'm like, God knows your needs. He knows your wants. He knows what you can handle. He'll take care of us, I'm just going to put Him first, and whatever He wants to give me, He'll give me, If He wants me to stay doing it, that's fine, But I'm just loving God, And it wasn't until about 4 months ago, he led me to that same very girl that I first first laid eyes on, and we've gotten real serious real quick, and we both love God first.
I love that.
And we're going to be getting engaged. It's beautiful.
I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy. And it's a kind of an amazing, happy ending to this story. I'm glad that God got a hold of you. And we just got about 30 seconds left. If you want to say anything to anyone who may be listening, maybe there's someone out there not sure about God, not sure about if Jesus is real. Maybe they're struggling with same-sex attraction. What would you like to say to them real quick?
I would say that God is real. And we might not feel like doing something. We might not have a desire for God. We think we have to give up something. No. We can talk to God anytime and say, listen, you know, I'm not really into you. Say, hey, I believe you're God. Give me a desire for you. Give me a love. You put the love in my heart for you. Draw me to you, please. I want to know you more. And I say, God will answer that prayer. He knows when you talk to him with an honest heart, he responds to that.
That is awesome. You're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I want to thank my special guest, Doug Parker, for sharing. Doug, thank you so much for taking the time out and encouraging us on Divine Intervention Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Friend, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention Radio. I hope it has encouraged you to know that God is real and he is still working miracles in the world and changing people's lives. God willing, we'll see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention Radio.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention.